You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when your father dismisses all of your paranormal experiences, when you simply long for understanding and acceptance? Does it take him having his own disturbing encounter to make him a believer?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP is what we call it. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you become an EPP, you get yourself a whole bunch of extras, bonus episodes, brand new ones every week, access to our archive of more than 300 bonus episodes. You get advanced episodes of the show, commercial free, our ebook, our audiobook, all of it's included with your membership at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. It's, another day, another rainy, creepy day. And people are like, oh, it's rainy. I'm like, I love it.
It's foggy and it's rainy. And I really like it. And when I went to get coffee this morning, Livy decided to play Hazard. It just seemed like a fitting song, you know.
A fitting day for Hazard.
Yes.
Richard Marx Hazard.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I think any day is a fitting day for Hazard. It's always a good song to play.
It's just better when it's creepy out. So I don't know. I like it.
Did you guys sing along? And
oh, we always sing along.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
No, don't sing it.
I can't think of the words.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That's a shame, isn't it? Three years ago when I first met Mary. Is that right?
Nope.
Okay, well, I tried. Good creepy song. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, this story is my dad's. It takes place in Oakland Park, Florida. The story also explains the theory that being able to sense the paranormal is a gift. Part of my upbringing was being haunted, and when the conversation came up, I tell him ghosts are real, and he would say it is Halloween stuff. My dad means the world to me, but this topic would cause debate as I felt like it was one of the most important topics for humanity. What happens after death? While I was in elementary school and dealing with a haunted house next to the cemetery, my dad became a believer 1,400 miles away. He was in the market to buy a house. This was before the crash, and the market in South Florida was expensive and highly competitive as it is today. He found a good house in the neighborhood he wanted, and so the agent took him there quickly to try to beat the competition. At the showing, the family decided to stay in the house while he was looking at it. It's not normal to see a house with the owners in it, but they insisted on staying. He walked around the house, went and got into the bedroom. An old lady stood in the doorway and would not let him in. He said she gave him sort of a mean look, and he had to look over her shoulders into the room. He saw enough. They left, and outside, my dad told the agent that he would make an offer and try to win it. He said that he wanted to make a lowball offer, and the agent fought him on it, saying that it would most likely be declined. He offered what would be a disrespectful price, and it was immediately accepted. After moving in, my dad was settled but felt off inside the house. He'd stay outside in the driveway and wait for his boyfriend, Nick, to get home from work before he'd go inside. He was not sure why, but he described it as an unwelcoming feeling. Nick, however, felt perfectly fine in the house and did not have any bad feelings toward it. These stories make me believe what was in the house was not exactly a normal ghost, but I cannot describe it, so maybe someone will have input. My dad had a dog that would jump on the bed and bark in the closet. The dog would do this all the time, and it got to the point my dad would have to drag the dog by its collar out of the room and close the door to make him stop. It was creepy to my dad, but to Nick, it was just a loud dog that might upset the neighbors or interrupt the TV show of the evening. One morning, my dad went to take a shower before work as usual. He was about to get out of the shower when he looked down and saw a penny pressed against his leg. He still wonders how it got there to this day. Was it in bed and stuck to his leg and stayed there throughout the whole shower? Was it put there when he had noticed? A penny would surely fall off or be scrubbed with a loofah. Some research suggests that the paranormal can manipulate copper. It's unexplainable and the lesser of the stories. He was pondering nonetheless. One weekend, a friend of theirs came to stay in the spare bedroom where the dog barks. He woke up my dad in the middle of the night in a panic, saying that he was being held down on the bed. He could not move his chest or arms, but his legs were kicking. It lasted a while, and he was truly terrified. My dad thought it could be sleep paralysis, but this friend said that it has never happened before, and he was awake and moving except the parts of his body being held down. He said it was a cold, heavy weight feeling being forced on the part of his body. The final story at the house is what made my dad sell it. He was asleep. He woke up for no apparent reason. He looked next to the bed and said he saw a face that appeared to have a lion's mane made of smoke around it. It was just a face about level with the bed. No body, no arms or anything else that would resemble more. He panicked and woke up Nick, and who saw nothing. The face disappeared. My dad immediately put the house on the market. The ghost was different to me. Did the previous owners put it there, or was the old lady selling the house trying to hide what they discovered? It was clearly trying to cause terror, pain, or fear, but my ghost experience was nothing like that. Nick did not witness, feel, or otherwise sense anything paranormal in the house. It, however, solidified my belief that being able to witness the paranormal is a gift and that non-believers can be made into believers. I wish my dad did not experience this house, but it also unlocked new meaning to life that my dad could have been missing. Many theories are out there, and I wonder if the afterlife or other unexplainable paranormal things will be proven or understood. I also wonder if it should be understood, and maybe it's best that we do not yet.
Anybody else think the old lady was a ghost?
They were standing there not letting him in the room?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't honestly go there with it.
Because you know how they're very territorial,
mm-hmm.
and maybe she couldn't come out of that room. She didn't want him in that room.
I would be reaching out to the previous owners asking, I'm just curious, when I was touring that house, who was the old lady that wouldn't let me into that one room?
And they'll be like, there's no old lady.
That's the answer you're looking. I mean, I'll take whatever answer I get, mm-hmm. but their answer will reveal, oh, it's Aunt Edna, or there is no old lady.
And why wouldn't she let me in?
Yeah. That's a weird part. Although we have toured houses before where they're like, well, we're just going to hang out of this bedroom over here. You can go look at the rest of the house. As if like one of the rooms is totally like, if you're considering buying the house, you kind of need to see all the rooms.
The difference though there was that the people that wouldn't let us in to see the house were renting the house.
Sure.
And they did not want to move out. So they didn't want anybody to buy the house so that they could continue to rent it.
That's true.
And we know that for a fact because the people that moved back into that house, because we did not buy it, were the previous owners. Mm-hmm. So they were like, yeah, that's what was going on. And they had trouble with multiple people trying to get in to see that house. A lot of people wanted to see it and they just couldn't. And the renters just kind of trashed it. I mean, when we walked through there in the bathroom, I mean, there was like bras hanging around and stuff. I mean, just anything to make you feel uncomfortable.
It was extremely uncomfortable. And it's like it was like wild kingdom of cats in the basement.
Oh, it was awful.
You would have had to quite literally gut that basement. And it was a nice house structurally.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get it cleaned up aesthetically, a very nice house. But it was like, oh my God, how did you let this thing get? It's like Jesse Pinkman moved in.
Yeah.
Is what it kind of felt like without the meth. But mm-hmm. it was like, that was a level of respect. That
but the cat pee was like meth.
It was. I mean, you would, there was no way you were going to get that out of that house. I mean, there's no kills that were going to kill that.
Right.
It would have been bye-bye drywall and kills on the floor, new drywall, and then fumigation. And I mean, if it weren't for that, I really would have been interested in that house. But,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was like, you're going to end up spending God knows how much just to make it breathable.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, no guarantee. I could have just seen years being there going, I still smell it. I still smell it.
Right.
And trying to find the source, and you end up finding like a cat in the wall or something.
Well, they did gut it and started over, and they did a great job, and they never had the cat pee smell again.
They did gut?
The basement, yes.
They had to completely
They had
it.
To. God. The upstairs was okay. But it was yeah. the downstairs where the cat lived that it just ruined it.
There's so many angles in every... Now that we've done work like that, mm-hmm. that basement was full of weird angles. It was cool. It was really a neat high ceiling
really
basement.
Really high ceilings for a basement.
It was a great... I loved that basement structurally.
Yes.
But I was just thinking of how this would be insane, like angles and arches and all this. I mm-hmm. mean, just to get it wasn't just like, here's a square room and some drywall. It was like, oh, this is going to take a lot of work and like artisan craftsmanship to get mm-hmm. everything back the way it was. But oh my God. Wow. Well, if it's not a ghost, it's cat urine. Which would you rather have? What would you rather have infesting your house? A ghost? Or cat urine. That doesn't go away. No, I'm not saying that you can exercise the cat urine with the rug doctor or anything. I'm saying it is simply there and you can spray everything you want, but it still stays.
Yeah.
What would you rather deal with? A ghost? Would it depend on the ghost? Let's say the ghost is friendly. Let's just play it. Let's play softball. Let's say the ghost, it's not like demonic. It's not giving you nightmares. It's not doing horrible shit. It's just like, it's there. Sometimes it opens the cupboards. Sometimes TV channel changes. Nothing major.
I would have to say ghost for the fact that I would immediately turn around and sell the house. And it's easier to sell a house that has an undetectable ghost than cat urine smell.
But you can't sell the house.
You didn't say that.
You're not in a financial situation to sell the house.
You didn't say that.
No, I said you have to live with it.
No.
Yes, I did. I said, you have to live with it.
You didn't say for how long. I'd live with it until the house sold.
Let's say the housing market's horrible.
No, we're going to not change in the rules on this game. No, that's your answer.
Okay.
I would live with it until we sold the house.
So everybody knows the house is haunted. It's just like the neighborhood knows the story.
Then there'll be some poor person that doesn't have a clue that'll come in and move in. I mean, you know that from doing Dark Side, that houses where serial killers have killed people, people move into those houses.
And, you know, I don't think necessarily with those houses, it's people that don't have a clue. I think it's people that don't believe in any sort of residual energy.
Okay.
Or anything like that. I mean, some of those you'd have to really, it would be a stretch to not know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if there are certain scenarios, you're coming in from out of town, you've not followed any local news, and the realtor doesn't reveal to you what the hell, but I think they have to if there's some like a murder or something in the house.
Yeah.
But to be that out of the clue of it, I mean, if you Googled it and it comes up, you know, that would give you some information. But I suppose that does happen. But I think in a lot of scenarios where it is like, you know, like a Manson house or this or that, it's more like, okay, kind of neat, but I don't believe in ghosts. So other than everybody, I think what they end up getting in for more than anything in those houses is the headache of the humans that want to walk by and take pictures in front of the house constantly than even any sort of entity in more cases than not.
I'm guilty of doing that. Last time I was in Wichita, I went to one of the BTK victim houses. And what I did was I parked across the street because across the street was a park and I took a picture from over there.
Were you smiling? Was it a selfie?
No, it was not a selfie. I don't do that. But
a selfie with a BTK?
I sent it to you because I thought, you know, it'd be something interesting that you would appreciate.
Sure.
And as morbid as that is, I was in Wichita without you and I was missing you. I thought, well, what can I do? I know, I can send him a serial killer house picture.
Yeah. When you're missing me, you go and go to dark places. I love it. The Park City BTK house is gone, but you're talking about one of the murder victims.
Yeah.
The what is interesting about, did they tear down the BTK neighbor house too?
I don't know.
Because he killed one of his neighbors.
But they didn't put that together until later.
Yeah. And that might have been the car you test drove as a child.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And you know what's funny is my parents came over Labor Day and I asked them about that. And they were kind of like, yeah, we kind of thought about that afterwards. And so I'm not the only one that was thinking after he got picked up, oh, my God, I test drove a car with Dennis Rader.
I never thought I'd get the opportunity to sit down with my daughter and have a conversation with her and explain that mommy once took a test drive with a serial killer. But we did that, and you can hear it in Harper's show, Cautionary Tales with Harper, episode called Be Careful Who Your Friends Are, which should be coming out shortly. If it's not out already, you can look that one up wherever you download podcasts. But we talk about people who were unsuspectingly friends or acquaintances or had interactions with very dark people, mm-hmm. BTK being one of them, Jeffrey Dahmer, several others. And after we ended that episode, she's like, that was the best episode ever. It was so much better than talking about dangerous foods. So you can expect that show to get darker as the days go by. But it was interesting. But you can hear more of the story of Jen's test drive with BTK on that episode. We talk about it for a little bit of time.
We're probably 98% sure that's what it was, because it was his neighbor's little old lady neighbor's car he was selling it for.
Didn't she even like narrow it down to the make and model, and it turned out it was that type of car that was the neighbor's car?
Yes.
So that really
solidifies
it pretty well.
Yeah, I just don't remember when we showed up what he said his name was, but it looked like him. It was in Park City that we went to, because we met at the Coliseum parking lot.
You were essentially across the street from his house, or pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And when we test drove it, he wouldn't let us drive it. He let us ride in it.
So you didn't even get to drive the damn
thing? No, it was me and my dad, and my dad was in the front seat, and I was in the back, and he was driving it. And I, you know what, honestly have thought many times, if my dad were not in the car with me,
you'd be dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
You would have been the one of the later BTK victims.
I would have been like number 11 or something. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a fun t-shirt to have?
I was almost a BTK victim.
I was almost number 11 of BTK or something. It's fucking horrible.
It's horrible. It's not funny.
It isn't, but you can only find humor in it. Otherwise, it's just too goddamn dark.
You know, and it's not like he didn't kill people my age. I mean, I was, 16?
Yeah.
I mean, he killed people younger than me.
Yeah.
So it could have been a thing.
I wonder if, like, when you showed up there with your dad for the test drive and the dad was there, he really was like, fuck it, I'm going to make this test drive uncomfortable because I'm going to drive the car and just get them to go away, because this isn't going to work and I don't want them to drive it. And
not only that, my mom was with us too. So it was my dad and my mom and me, but only my dad and me went in the car with them. And so my mom was waiting back at the Coliseum parking lot, which the Coliseum was like our arena at the time. So she was waiting at the parking lot so she could give full, you know, ID of this guy and description and everything. So there was no way he was going to get away with getting.
Did your dad find it odd that he couldn't drive the car?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason we didn't buy it.
I'm assuming he was probably expecting that, like, at some point you guys would get to drive the car. How did that, I mean, I know you're talking about, you were 16 years old, so we're going back half a lifetime ago, but do you remember how that went? I mean,
no, I don't. I think, I mean, my dad, one of the few things he remembers, because my dad has memory issues, he said that I had the point of, this car is older than me, Dad. And so he thought about that, and he thought about, that's probably not the best idea, you know?
So he just didn't push it.
No, I didn't want the car.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to see a Mustang. It was a Maverick. It was not a cool car. It was a bait and switch.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
BTK bait and switch car shopping.
So it is so absurd.
It happened.
I know.
You talked to my parents about it.
I know it happened, and I 100% believe you. I am in no way questioning the validity of the story. It is just so absurd. It's funny.
All these years later, I had thought maybe it was just me, you know, thinking that until we talked to my parents about it, and they were like, no, we kind of thought about that too.
They did.
Yeah, that was him.
We were on the porch, we were talking about it, and you brought it up, and they're like, yeah, we were kind of thinking that too. So, you know, over the course of umpteen years, they've at some point had a conversation amongst themselves going, do you think that was Dennis Rader?
We almost bought a car for our daughter from Dennis Rader. We put our daughter in a car with Dennis Rader.
If you had bought that car and still had that car, could you take it to car shows and be like, this is the car I bought from BTK?
Oh, no.
A serial killer car show.
No.
That could be a new thing.
That's terrible. There'd
not be many cars.
It'd just be a bunch of Camaros.
Is Camaro the serial killer car?
According to Dwight on The Office, it is.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny or Carol, whoever may be in the episode today, maybe Harper. This is my real ghost story that I experienced with my father back in the 2000s. I like to call this one the house on Horror Hilltop because that's what it was. It was the Horror Hilltop in St. Paul, Minnesota, not too far from where you grew up, Tony. It was a fun thing that happened for several years. I think they only did it for two or three Halloweens. And it was just fantastic because there was this section that they had and they sectioned off parking and you walked up this long winding hill and it was so fantastical for me when I was that age in maybe 7, 8, 9, or 10. Anyway, this is what we experienced. It was so much fun for me and my father to get there. Very spooky. There weren't many lights around, and you could sit there. When you parked, you knew the haunted Horror Hilltop was a very special place. So we knew it was spooky immediately. And of course, it was a haunted attraction. They advertised this, and all of my friends went, and me and my dad ended up going. So it was very fun for us. We got there. There was this boy with his mother. They said, oh, this isn't very scary. This isn't something that we want to do. This is stupid. Anyway, we were in their same group. And of course, they sectioned off all of us. 10, 12, 14, maybe more. But, you know, they would section you off. They would have you go through this haunted house that was hilarious. And it was just a grand old time. Anyway, we went through there with the same kid. He was like, oh, this isn't very scary. But I call this the house on Haunted Hilltop because one of the first rooms me and my father went through was amazing. It was spotted. There were dark, dark circles all around the room. And some of them were lit. So if you can imagine a dark room that was lit and had very dark circles all around it, imagine walking through that. It was quite disorienting. We were going through there and we saw a figure walking kind of, I don't know the best word to describe it. He was He was waddling through there, almost dancing, like this dark figure, and he had spots on him, and he was walking through the spotted room. So me and my father stopped, and we watched him. We watched him walk through this spotted room, and it was creepy. And then he walked straight into the wall. And then we looked at each other, and he said, "What was that?" We couldn't even believe it. So that was one of the first rooms we walked through. And so the rest of the escape or ghoulish haunting rooms, whatever you may have you, walking through this haunted house on Horror Hilltop was paling in comparison. We got to the end. We told this guy, we said, he was one of the persons who worked there. We said, we saw in this spotted room someone spotted walking straight through this room. And at the end, he walked straight into the wall. And I swear to God, my dad can tell you too, if he were to call in, he walked straight into this wall. And we saw nothing more in the spotted room. And we talked to everybody there. So the partition at the end, he said, "Oh, that's part of the story." He said, "It's part of the story." And we didn't believe him. We said, "No, he walked straight into the wall and he wouldn't tell us anything. He wouldn't tell us anything about it." And, this kid who was, being a little shit, toward the end where he couldn't, Nothing was scary. He didn't know about it. My father and I did not know about it. We walked straight into the next section. But there was this scary spotted apparition who walked straight into the wall. And we had told the workers who worked there, there was nothing that we could have seen that walked straight into the wall. And I believe my father stayed afterwards because I was quite distraught even at that young age. And he said, "There's nothing that walked into this wall. We saw you guys walk into the wall, and we were trying to explain the special effects to them, but they said, no, there's nothing. There is nothing at the end of that partition." So that's my scariest story I've probably ever experienced at a young age. I would like to send in another scary story I have, and it's from a few years ago. Tony, I would like you to read it. So you will hopefully get that. I will also say that everybody, classic says here, I want to hear some Rick Astley from Tony on air, and B, I would also like to say, please use mine. Everybody says, please use my story, and it's hilarious. So this is my favorite podcast of all time. Thank you guys so much for what you do. Tony, Carol, Jenny, Harper, I love all of you guys. Thank you so much. And that is my real ghost story online.
I liked it. That was a good story.
That was a good story. And you can't deny when something walks straight through a wall, that's definitely a ghost.
Yeah. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, and when you least expect it, it's just like, boom, there it is.
And how frustrating when others around you don't see it and you're like, it's right there. It just happened. And at least his dad saw it too.
I mean, otherwise you don't know what, you know, what you're going to do. By request, everybody, here on Real Ghost Stories Online, this young man just rocking the charts with his hot hits. It's Rick Astley. Never gonna give you up on Ghost FM.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. a full commitment what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm
okay.
I do enjoy your Rick Astley karaoke, but this isn't my favorite one.
Cry for Help.
That's my favorite one.
Should I put that one on?
You don't have to sing that one too.
Well, you just requested it.
No, I didn't request it. I'm just letting you know.
I'm sorry. When you call the radio station and you ask for a song.
I am the frickin' radio station.
I am the frickin' radio station.
No, I am.
I am the frickin'.
We both
like,
are.
It's like I am legend. I am the frickin' radio station.
You don't have to sing it.
You requested it.
No.
You requested it. I'm just, you know, when someone calls, I like to make them happy. Playing Rick Astley.
It's just one of my all-time favorite songs.
It's a good song. I don't know what, I mean, I don't know why he never like took off more. Maybe, I think his songs are just like too poppy, but this one wasn't. This was like the one like good soulful Rick Astley tune. So here we go. Rick Astley on Ghost FM.
She's taking my time. Convince me she's fine, but when she leaves, I'm not so sure.
There we go. Okay.
Okay.
You happy?
Okay. I'm happy now.
I just want to go to the part where they
cry for help. Why don't I feel her cry for help?
It's different when you're doing karaoke. You get all the reverb and everything in there.
Yeah.
Studio's a little different.
It is different.
But if I...
I know. It's probably... How many months out are we before this airs?
This will be airing towards, I believe, in November.
In November. So not too far out. Because right now, the huge challenge everybody's doing on TikTok is the Dreams Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the Fleetwood Mac song.
Yeah.
We can create a one with an obscure Rick Astley song.
No, I was just... that if I were going to sing something on the show, that would be it.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
It came up on my Pandora the other day. I'm like, I kind of like that song again.
Yeah.
And it's all because of some man going around on a skateboard with cranberry juice that...
It's awesome.
...has revived Fleetwood Mac.
My favorite
dreams.
One, though, is the guy with the pumpkin on his head doing the pumpkin spice one.
That's a fun one, too.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. And I'm... Stop. There we go.
I was actually going to sing Dreams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
On the air?
On the air.
Well, maybe some other episode we can do that. That'd be great. That's going to wrap up today's episode. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.